You're listening to the Better Life Broadcast with wealth building specialist Adrian L. Blue and Team WECOA. We're on the road, teaching and empowering people to build wealth with the trinity of wealth creation, gold, silver, and cryptocurrency. Email your questions or comments to bluewealthsolutions@gmail.com. Visit us online at adrianlblue.com. Let's get started building a better you for a better life.
Hello, gracious peace, each and every one of you. This is the Better Life Empowerment Movement, and I'm welcoming you to our morning prayer, hour of power, our morning hour of power on this wonderful Saturday morning. I have a day filled of empowerment that we're going to be doing, and I could not start the day without having our time together. So thank you so much for being here, and certainly thank you for that wonderful introduction, Paula Martin. We certainly, and all of you who have tuned in, thank you for joining in with us. It's my prayer that you have your Bibles, your pens, your notepads, your paper, because I'm going to be covering and going over some vital information according to the Word of God as it relates to what to do when you feel like you just can't go on. And in this, we're going to be dealing with the danger of depression. The danger of depression. And so with that in mind, if you'll bow your head, let's invite the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Truth, to be among us and with us as we open up. Because what we're going to be dealing with today is very serious as it relates to the life and to the experience of believers and non-believers alike. And I want you to understand that this, we're going to be uncovering a lot of misnomers that oftentimes have been thought of as it relates to being a Christian and being depressed. And among all these suicides that are happening as a result of depression, make no mistake about it, I believe that it's time that we, the church, the people of God, is what I mean when I say the church, not the building, that we put emphasis and attention on our wellness, to make sure we're well, to make sure we're okay. And then listen to me, as we go forth today, I want to tell you, it's okay not to be okay. However, when you realize you're not okay, that's when ministry must take place. That's when you need the help. You need those things. As Christians, you are not Superman or Superwoman. Don't try to be it. That's the challenge. The church under the old covenant has kept you to the point where you have to walk on water. You have to do what Jesus did and some and more, all in one breath. And the reality is, there is still humanity a part of you. And humanity, as frail and flawed as it is, why we must give special attention to building our spirit, that we can walk in the fullness that God has and experience the better that He's promised. Amen. So let's get ready to pray, and we're about to get started. So there's still time to text somebody, to call them up, and tell them you want to get on this teaching. Dr. Blue's about to teach on the danger of depression. The danger of depression. What to do when you feel like you can't go on. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we give you praise, and we thank you today for giving us such a time as this, such a moment in truth, such a way of faith. Now, God, I pray that you make teaching easy, but understanding easy. See through my eyes, hear through my ears, speak through my lips, that you be glorified in heaven and your people may be edified on earth. Father, allow the awareness of truth to be our experience right here and right now. And we do say, and we choose to live and move your way. Father, we thank you for being aware of the condition that is plaguing so many people today. Many people who may oftentimes have been on this line. But God, I pray that through understanding, as your word declares, and all I getting, get an understanding, that we will begin to understand things differently, understand you more clearly, serve you more nearly, and love you more dearly. And Father, that's our request, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, as we unfold today's teaching, the danger of depression. What to do when we can't, when we don't feel like moving on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, my brothers and sisters. One of the things I want to call your attention to today is the very real issue of depression. And I want you to understand that depression is a widespread condition. And this is a spirit of depression, and it is a spirit. I believe it is a spirit as much as depression can lead to mental illness, or mental illness finds its root inside of a type of depression. It is still a spirit. And this spirit is affecting millions of people, those who are Christians and non-Christians alike. See, you must understand that those suffering from depression can experience intense feelings of sadness, of anger, of hopelessness, which is oftentimes a result that leads to suicide, of fatigue. Have you ever gotten just tired in life, tired of doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results but seeing the same one, and those results are just not enough? That can lead to the spirit of depression. And there's a variety of other symptoms that often happens when a person is depressed. See, when a person is depressed, they will begin to feel useless. They'll begin to feel even suicidal, losing interest in things and people that they once enjoyed. That spirit of depression sometimes sneaks up very quietly on the person, and it causes them to be disconnected. This is why the scripture is very clear that we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Now, again, I'm going to say this, I teach this all the time, that has nothing to do with church building, but it does have to deal with Christian gathering. See, you can offset depression by being around people who are filled with joy, even though you may be absent of that joy. You can offset depression by being around people who believe in the better life, even though you feel like you're walking through the bitter of life. The reality is, that there's many things that depression can be triggered by. And oftentimes, write this down, because I want you to be able to at least acknowledge if you're going down this direction. See, why am I teaching this during the time that we generally teach wealth? Because it is very challenging to build wealth when you are depressed about your current position of being broke. It is very challenging. Not saying it can't happen, because you got to learn how to rise up. And hopefully, as we go throughout this teaching, I'm going to teach you something that's going to help you, that when you're going through that area of depression, then you will know how to deal with certain things. Then I want to be very transparent with you, even as it relates to my life and my ministry, how I had to fight and even deal with the spirit of depression. Now, I want you to understand this. Because depression is triggered by many things in life, like life circumstances. You know, sometimes it can be the loss of a job, the loss of an opportunity, the loss of a position, the death of a loved one. I certainly understand how that feels. Divorce, psychological problems, even abuse. Abuse can be the thing that triggers depression, as well as low self-esteem. These are all symptoms that often will cause you to want to disconnect and detract when everything about God is about fellowship. See, in God, it's important that you understand that we must not only believe, but we also must belong. It is deep down inside of us the desire to believe in something. To believe in something. Whether it's right, wrong, whether it's good, bad, whether it's going, we got to believe in something. And watch it here. It's that believing in something that leads us to want to belong to something. This is why in this ministry, the Better Life Empowerment Movement, our focus has always been to create community. Because there's things that you bring to this ministry that I may not have as a leader. Now, that doesn't detract from my position, because my position is still to lead. But if your creative ability, if the things you do, the things you're able to do that you bring to the ministry, you're able to share that with the community of believers, that we all will be whole, lacking nothing. And oftentimes when a person is going through depression, they face the temptation of just simply wanting to give up. They don't come or enter or participate in many of the events that we do. They draw back. They get quiet. These are all symptoms of depression. And if you're not careful, what the enemy seeks to do suddenly and quietly is he seeks to try and suddenly and quietly move you from your place of power to allow you to remain in pain. Because depression is often a result of some kind of pain that has happened inside of your life. Now, as a pastor of more than 25 years or so of ministry and pastoring, I know what it's like to have some of the very people who I've been there for, people who I've sought to help, people who at times I've denied my own family for, to turn around and walk away. I know what it's like to have people who feel like they got another revelation. And that they're leaving without even a call, without even a conversation, just up and they're gone. There are times that when circumstances like that happen, that even as a pastor, pastors today can suffer from depression. There are many pastors today who are suffering from depression because of the weight of ministry, because they're praying for everybody else but got no one to pray for them, because they're encouraging everybody else but no one's there to encourage them. And you might say, well, it ain't that bad. Well, you think about it. Think about living life, doing what you do on your job or your experience, and no one's there to say thank you from time to time. No one's there to tell you you've done well. No one's there to say keep moving, keep going. See, the pastor's role is always one of an encourager, not just a leader and a guider, but one who encourages the people. But what do you do when the encourager is discouraged? And that's not far off. King David had to deal with depression himself. So much so that we know that when he was cast away from Saul, and he went to take refuge among the enemies of Abimelech in the Saul. Which was his enemies, you know, he went to find comfort among them. That we see that in the scriptures in Psalms that there was one event where David was inside of the cave, and some people remember David. This was the one who slew your cousin Goliath, Abimelech, because Goliath was the cousin of Abimelech. All right? And so, therefore, they said, let's get him. Let's kill him. What do you do when even your enemies don't even want you? What do you do when the folk you're running from to run to somewhere else, they don't even want you? Depression can set in. Now, David dealt with this in a very different way, because the scripture says that David, he began in Psalms 34, began to break Satan. We're going to talk about that in a moment. He began to break Satan because the scripture says that David began to jump around like a crazy man when they was plotting to kill him. When they remembered that this was the same joker that killed Goliath, our cousin. Let's get him. Let's kill him. David started jumping around and saying, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. He started acting like a crazy man. Well, the scripture said spittle was coming down his beard. And so much so that Abimelech looked at David and said, why do you guys bring me another crazy man? I don't need this man. Throw him out of here. David was facing depression. But in that depression, he shows us one vital thing. He shows us that no matter what you're in, you can faith. And the reason why we ought to all love praise, because praise gives you the ability to break faith. When you can praise God even through the pain. When you can praise God even when you're under the pressure. When you can praise God even when you're being pushed around. Glory be to God. Praise will move your attention off your problem and put it of the God all over the problem. See, we got to operate over our crisis. Christ over our crisis. And that was the thing that got David out of the enemy's hands and grasped. All because he made a decision. Yes, he acted crazy when he did it. And you know what I found out? That sometimes when you're in depression, you got to move with an extreme emotion outside of the emotion that you're experiencing. If you feel like quitting and giving up, get around people who are serious about holding on. If you feel like throwing in the towel, I don't want to talk to nobody. That's when you ought to talk to people who can speak into your spirit, causing you to feel and want to see a brighter day. Because I want you to understand that depression can easily be triggered even from life circumstances. And what does the scripture say about it? In Philippians, go there, Philippians the 4th chapter, verses 4 through 9. Come on, go to Philippians the 4th chapter, verses 4 through 9. Because in Philippians the 4th chapter, verses 4 through 9, we see that exactly what David did is what the scriptures encourage us to do as believers when dealing with depression. Because if you're a believer and you feel like it can't happen to you, you're sadly mistaken. Yes, it can. I remember after my grandfather, the late great Bishop Milton Perry, who I've spent literally the latter years of his life serving him. I mean from sun up to sundown. I mean if you saw him, you saw me. Any pictures you see online, every picture that was ever taken of him, you saw me right there by his side in the background. I was faithful to my man of God. I served my man of God. I sold him to my man of God. I encouraged my man of God. If his shoes were untied, I tied it up. I didn't care who he was or what he'd done. If something was out of place, I quickly put it in place before anybody saw it on his clothing, because I wanted, he was my man of God. It was my assignment. And I loved him and served him. And when the Lord took him home, I had talked to him that night. I talked to him that night. He was going to a different service. I was on my way to go join him. He said, no, son, you stay home. I said, no, I don't understand what you're saying. I'm not going to. He said, no, you heard me. You stay with the family. Stay back with them. You guys go somewhere. I'm going here. Which is unusual because we were always together. That was the night that the Lord called him home. Now, I'm going to tell you this. It was already difficult for me when he passed away. But there's no way I could have taken it if I was there at the transition. And even the loss of a loved one can trigger depression, because right after that, I felt lost. I felt like there was nothing more for me to do. And that was unusual behavior, because people know that I'm a person of purpose. People know that everything I do has a purpose to it. I don't aimlessly live life. Everything I'm doing is for the glory of God, for the establishment of the kingdom, and all around. And at that moment, when my man of God was taken home, I literally felt that even myself, there was no reason to continue on. Now, I'm not telling you that I had contemplation of suicide. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that I felt absolutely empty and hopeless until the Lord spoke to me and shared with me everything that I was being prepared for. The time has come for me to implement. See, when most people suffer from depression because they have no hope that things can get better. And I want to tell you this. Yeah, we teach a lot on the better life. Yes, we're establishing a movement nationwide on the better life. That's right. We're changing people's lives according to the better life. But if you are here and you don't believe things can get better with your finances, things can get better in your marriage, things can get better in your relationships, things can get better in that career, things can get better in that business. If you don't believe things can get better, you have now cracked the door where the enemy can come in and bring depression. And depression can be the first level to moving towards that avenue of suicide. And I'm telling you, it is not the will of God for the believers to be depressed. How do we know that? Ready? Go to Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. And I'm going to read it from the New International Version. Here's what the scripture says that we ought to do when it comes to areas of depression. Ready? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. That means we got to break faith. We got to jump to a place of rejoicing that no matter how bad it appears to be, things could have been worse, but they're not. Rejoice. The scripture then goes on to say, let your gentleness be evident to all. Verse number 6, do not be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Don't be in that place of what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, my God. Don't do that. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving unto God. And the scripture says, and the peace of God, glory to his name, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So even in Philippians, the fourth chapter, we're encouraged to rejoice in the Lord. We're encouraged to take our mind off the problem and put it on the problem solver. And sometimes when you don't know what to do, you just got to keep going. When you don't know what to do, you got to keep moving. You can't take a break. You can't take a pause. You can't take a step back because that's when the enemy strikes. Listen to me. Write this down. This is going to help you. The enemy likes to operate by a principle called divide and conquer. And he can use depression to divide you from the saints, to divide you from the people who love you, to divide you to make you feel the pity party is bigger than it actually is. And once you're divided, then you can be conquered. Why? Because we've been called to believe and to belong. What do you belong to? Who do you belong to? With whom do you belong? And it's important that if you're a part of the Better Life Empowerment Movement, as much as we're teaching you on better, is as much as the enemy going to try and fight you with depression. But you can win. You can go forth. Because the Bible says in Philippians 4 and 7, and the peace of God, which transcends or surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Remember, it's the heart and the mind that is the very foundation of our faith. If you're going to operate by faith, believing God, you can't just believe Him in your mind. You got to believe Him in your heart too. And so we need our mind and our heart guarded so we can continue to believe for better, or depression will take the place, often leading to suicide. And my friends, that's not the will of God. Because I want you to understand that God intends for us all to live joyous lives, to be joyful. And this oftentimes is not easy for the person who's suffering from situational depression. Write that down, situational depression. Because sometimes there's clinical depression, which can only be diagnosed by a professional. But there's also situational depression. I know what it's like in situational depression. When I've given my all to follow the will of God, to prepare God's people, to love on them, never having a scandal in my ministry, never having an issue within the ministry at all. but serving God's people, sacrificing for them, being there for them, only for people to have their own opinions and to listen by naysayers who are upset because they can't have their way in ministry and walk away. I'm telling you, it's difficult for a pastor. That's why when people tell me, well, Pastor Blue, I feel like I'm called to pastor a church. Now, you may be called to do ministry, but understand there's a difference from the gift of pastoring and the office of one. You can have the gift of pastoring whereby you are part of leading a work. But the office of a pastor sometimes can be a lonely one. Because who do the pastor talk to when they're facing issues and challenges? I've recently had an event inside of my life where I call myself trying to do good for somebody. And in doing good with somebody who suffered from mental illness, this person began to stalk me, began to literally try to post discouraging and egregious things concerning me on social media. That had no founding. It was no truth to it at all. Because I'm the first one that if I'm ever in sin or if I'm ever done wrong, I'll be the first one to tell you before you tell it. Because guess what? There's only one person who I'm concerned about maintaining their love, and that's God. Not of no one else. But this person who I've done good to, I've helped out, I try to be there for. I didn't even know the person. I just felt led to do good. Person literally tried to attack my character, tried to attack my resolve, and everything I've been doing for the kingdom of God. And for a moment, I felt like, you know what? What is it all worth it? What am I doing? Here I am, I'm doing good to people, I'm out here, I'm trying to make it happen, and now this happens? Now this happens? And then when I begin to realize the road I was going down, I had to shake myself, I had to break faith, and I'm going to explain what that means, and I had to get back on track. Because anytime you're doing what God wants you to do, you are an enemy of Satan. And he will do his best to attack you. See, some people want to play the soft role. They don't want to ruffle Satan's feathers because you don't want to have to deal with him. But I'm telling you, it don't matter what he tried to do, no matter what he's doing, you have the power and the ability as a believer to rise up above the circumstance and live beyond the challenges in which you are encountering. And it was from that event that the Spirit of the Lord begin to encourage me and thank the Lord that we had that there were people in the spirit who begin to say, Pastor, I just want to encourage you. Keep on serving the King. Keep on building the kingdom. We're with you. We encourage you. And many times what you don't understand is, as the scripture says, where your heart is, there your treasure will be. So sometimes it's not your conversation. Sometimes it's you just saying, and I never understood in the Baptist church where I first start pastoring. Anytime there was a life event, maybe something happened or maybe a situation, I remember many times after a meeting of with the board of the church, and I, you know, the guys, let's be more proactive. Let's go out into the community. Let's serve the people who are the least lost left behind. That's always been in my heart. We'll get some people on the board that say, no, Pastor, we ought not do that. We should be focused on our church. And in the Baptist church, you're not a pastor. You're the hired preacher. And I remember after many board meetings, I would get certain people who would come up to me and they'll give me a Holy Ghost handshake. They wouldn't say nothing. Now, what is a Holy Ghost handshake? Those of you who are Pentecostal may understand that. That's when somebody shakes your hand and there's money tucked into their hand and they're shaking your hand. That's what they call a Holy Ghost handshake in a Pentecostal circle. And I will have people after a board meeting who will come to me and they'll press something in my hand. And without saying a word, they will look at me. And that was their love saying, I'm with you. And I understand it's challenging, but keep on, Pastor. You're doing a good job. Because where your money is, sometimes your heart, there your heart is. Not sometimes, there your heart is. That's what the scripture says. So even that becomes a form of encouragement. Pastor, you know what? Go out. You know, I remember times where people, and I'm showing you how to face depression, how to deal with the difficulty of depression. You got to break faith. And if you see somebody in that place of depression, guess what? Go out to a way to do good for them. Do something for them. Take them out to eat. Be a blessing to them. Speak into them and say, you know what? I appreciate you. Thank you for your encouragement. My point is this to you, that even as a believer, you can face depression. You can in faith, and if depression is left untreated, it will result in suicide. God wants us to live beyond situational depression, but you got to know it can be shifted. How do we shift depression? Here it is. Let's go through this because I want to give you the practical points to live by. You can shift depression through prayer, through study of God's word, encouraging yourself with what God said. That's why we study the word of God. We encourage ourselves with what God says. You can go through depression by applying God's word to his life, by being in fellowship with other believers, by being among people who believe in you. See, I've always said, never be where you tolerate it. Go where you celebrate it. And if you go where you celebrate it, then guess what? You can be more effective. If you're in a place, and I've been there before, where I've been in a place serving on a pastoral staff, where even those who I served did not only tolerate me. Every time I turned around, they were looking for a reason to have an issue. And when that was not founded, they tried to find a reason. So I've learned to go where I'm celebrated, never where I'm tolerated. And I want you to understand this. I want you to understand this in every way, that you can shift the position of your depression. And that is a process called breaking faith. Now, let me explain this very quickly. And I know our time is drawing near. I'm not going to hold you long, but I had to teach this today. Because some of you wanting to build wealth, you want to go forth and you want to believe God according to his word, but the reality is, your circumstances speaking louder than God's word. And that's going to lead you to depression, and you got to fight against that. You can make it. You can do it. You don't have to be a victim. Come on. You don't have to be a victim. You can become stronger and better than ever before. So how do we break faith? Very simple. This is how you break faith. You break faith simply by changing your environment. You know, there was a study psychologically done whereby there was a couple people inside of a psych ward that was dealing with depression. And what some psychologists begin to do is they begin to take all those people who are suffering from depression, and half of those people, they will put them for 30 minutes a day inside of a room filled with mirrors, and they would encourage those persons to laugh at themselves, to smile in the mirror, to look in the mirror and just laugh. Even if they had to fake it till they make them laugh. And what they found after a time, that those who suffered from depression, who was put inside of the mirror, who smiled, who laughed, who heard the music playing, the depression began to break off of their lives. And they got better, even better than those who were taking medication for the depression. It's called breaking faith. And in neurolinguistic programming, which I'm a practitioner of, we teach people that you got to learn that whenever you are in a state of being, your state of mind, that is not empowering, that is weak, that goes against you, learn how to sometimes break faith. Play music. Walk away. Look at somebody, a baby laughing, or interact with somebody who's positive. You break faith, and once you break faith, that current state of being no longer have authority over you. It's called breaking faith. And every person who understands self-empowerment and improvement, they realize what breaking faith is all about. Breaking faith. You got to learn how to break faith. And when you learn how to break faith, listen to me, depression will not have its way with you. Now, listen to me. Now, let me give you this one more thing. And I want you to get this because you don't have to be a victim to depression. You don't have to be a victim at all. Because sometimes depression also can be caused by disorder. Depression sometimes can be caused by disorder. Some physical disorder. What do I mean by physical disorder? Physical disorder is a sense of you need to be treated with medication. And I want you to hear me, that if you need to be treated with medication or counseling, if you need to be treated with medication or counseling, you certainly can find that, and I encourage that. But if you believe God and you want to move beyond the challenges of that medication or that counseling or whatever the case may be, then I want to encourage you, understand that things don't have to be the way that they were or that they are. There is help. Get among other Christian believers and believe God for better. Believe God for more. Believe God for even greater. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now listen to me. As we get ready to close, I want you to understand that, of course, we know God is able to cure any disease. He's able to deal with any disorder. However, in some cases, if it's that sincere, you may need to see a doctor. And I don't want you ever to feel ashamed about seeing a doctor. Now, again, whether you take the medication that they give you, because I know that some doctors, all they simply will do many times is they'll treat the condition, never for healing, but for management. But I'm saying that I would never turn somebody away from getting professional help if you need it. If you're that depressed and you can't be around people, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, no matter if you try to break faith, then guess what? Go do what you need to do. Nothing wrong with that. But believe God along the way that you can and will get better. Because I want you to understand that if you're suffering from depression, there will be anxiety. There will be worry. There will be challenges. But one of the ways you can wean yourself off of even what the doctors prescribe is by staying in the Word of God, by studying the Word, by standing in the Word. Because oftentimes, listen to me, everybody, your emotions can lead you astray. But God's Word stands firm and unchanging. We must maintain a strong faith in God and hold even more tightly to Him, even when we're going through trials and tribulations. We got to learn how to hold on to God's unchanging hand. And the Bible tells us that God will never allow us to be tempted above what our lives are able to handle. How do we know that? We see that in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Write that down. God says, I will never allow you to be tempted above what you're able. Here's what the scripture says, and I'm going to read this from the English Standard Version. It says, no temptation has taken you, that which is not common to man, but God is faithful, glory to His name. See, when you know that God is faithful, you can be faithful to the faithful God. And He will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able. But with the temptation, He will provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And although you may be facing depression or know somebody who is depressed, depression and being depressed is not a sin. For you are still accountable to your response to this affliction. It's not a sin to be depressed, but what you do as a result of it can become a sin. And this is why that if you need pastoral counseling, if you need professional help, if those things are needed, then go for it. Because depression left untreated will lead to suicide. Depression left untreated will lead to suicide. And yes, there are believers who have committed suicide. There are believers who have given up. I don't think that's the will of God. I do believe it can get better. But I believe no one has these conversations. No one teaches a person how to deal with depression. So when you're going through it, you feel like you're all by yourself. No one understands. No one cares. I've been there, and they don't get it, and they don't understand it. And then, therefore, you run the risk of wanting to quit. And I'm saying, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Don't give up. Don't quit. Because I want you to hear me. Depression. And this is what the Center of Disease and Control says. That depression is a growing problem in the United States. That the Centers of Disease and Control and Prevention, they published a survey this past Thursday showing that suicide rates have increased by 25% across the country, nearly two decades ending in 2016. That means that depression is on the rise because no one is telling people that it's okay not to be okay. I believe that there's time that pastors may need to go on a vacation. They may need to step away for a season. They may need to walk away, and it's difficult when their pastor is only relying upon ministry for living because they can't. And most, 90% of pastors, that's their condition. But sometimes as pastors and leaders and people of God, you may need to step away, not from the fellowship, but step away to be empowered yourself, within yourself, that you can grow in the good and the better of God. And I'm telling you that if that's what's needed, you got to do what you got to do. Because it's important that you understand with such a rise in suicide by more than 30%, if you're having issues right now, and if you're listening to this as a recording, if you're listening to this live, and you're facing something, I want you to take down this number. This is a suicide helpline. I'm going to give you two numbers. I'm going to give you one, a professional line, and I'm going to give you a pastoral line. Take down this number, 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-273-8255. This is the suicide helpline. 1-800-273-8255. Or if you need pastoral help, pastoral encouragement or counseling, take down this number, 1-877-708-BETTER. 1-877-708-BETTER, extension 700. And you'll be there. You can leave your prayer requests. If you need to be empowered, if you need to understand more, God indeed will empower you that you can walk in the better of God and not live by the bitter of life. Because depression is oftentimes very serious, and it will lead you to a place that you don't want to be. So listen to me. As we get ready to conclude, I got one more scripture I want to take you to. Go to Hebrews 13:15. Hebrews 13:15. In Hebrews 13:15, this is what the scripture says. It says it this way: by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. When? Not sometimes, but continuously. That is the fruit of our lips, that we got to be committed to giving thanks unto his name. And the reason why it's a sacrifice of praise, because you don't feel like praising him at the time. You don't feel like giving him the glory. So it is a sacrifice, but it's something that's necessary, because even though you don't feel like it, as you put him first, you will see him move powerfully in your life. And I'm here to tell you, and I mean it when I say it, live by the principle, Christ over your crisis. Hear me. You got to live by the principle, Christ over your crisis. Christ over your crisis. Christ over your crisis. Say that with me. Christ is over my crisis. Christ is over my crisis. Jesus Christ can save you from it all. Not just your soul salvation, but situational salvation. And here's the last thing I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you 3 points on how to deal with this depression. 3 points that if you're in depression, what to do, that you can make it past where you are. Because remember, it's discouragement. Discouragement that leads to depression. Depression left untreated will lead to suicide. And I don't care if you say, you can say whatever you want to say, it's a known fact. Because it has happened. It has happened twice this week with well-known people. And here's the great thing about it, everybody. Depression knows nobody's name, but can be experienced by everybody, whether you're rich or poor. This week, Anthony Bourdain from CNN, the chef show, very wealthy man, traveled the world eating exotic foods. You would think that his life was incredible. But he committed suicide just a day ago. Then on top of that, you have Kate Spade, designer, worth over $200 million. Yet and still, going through a divorce, family falling apart, she commits suicide. What are you saying? It doesn't matter how wealthy you are or whether you're wealthy or not. The reality is, money won't stop it. See, money makes life easier, but money is not the answer to all things. And it's not the answer to the things of your purpose. It is you understanding that things can get better. Whether you're rich or poor or in between or you're a millionaire in the making, either way, you've got to learn how to deal with depression. And as we get ready to conclude, let me give you some points on how to deal with depression. I'm going to give you some practical points of power. And I want you to hear this. And if you're on GroupMe, I'm going to have these points posted online that you can know how to have Christ over your crisis. How to have Christ over your crisis. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay, here it is. Number one, you have to learn, if you're going to deal with depression effectively, you got to learn how to see things as they are, but not worse than they are. In essence, don't complicate your circumstance. Yes, you know, there was loss. Yes, there was a challenge. Yes, you feel bad. Yes, you feel sad. But don't see things worse than they are. Don't complicate it. You overcomplicate it by allowing yourself to be in the pity party, feeling like nobody understands or nobody gets it. I just shared with you in 1 Corinthians, he will give you a way out, even when the temptation of depression is facing. The second point I want to give you is you got to learn how to see things better than they are. I believe one of the greatest gifts to the believer today is the Better Life Empowerment Movement. I believe that's one of the greatest gifts to the believer, because with the Better Life Empowerment Movement, you're able to understand that things can get better. We show you from the Word of God. We teach you in the truth of God how God desires for you to have a better life. It gives you hope to continue on. It gives you hope to keep trusting and believing, even when you feel like you're broken and broken. You don't have anything else that you want really need to have. Listen to me, and I want you to hear me. You can have better, and it can get better. But you got to believe. You got to learn, number two, how to see things better than they are. And then number three, you got to make things the way you see them. Make things the way you see them. That means if you're facing depression today and you believe that things can get better, you go out and you make those connections. You go out and you connect with people. You talk to people you trust. You talk to people who you can believe for. You talk to people who you know things can be different. And as you begin to do that, guess what will begin to happen? You will begin almost subconsciously to break stage. Practice breaking stage. Next time you get bad news, don't sit around with your head hung down. You know what? Put on some music. Put on whatever music that makes you feel good. I don't care if it's Frankie and Beverly. And I know some of you got a problem with that. Well, Pastor, we ought to be telling people to put on Jesus is Real. Listen, they know Jesus is Real. Put on Frankie and Beverly if it's going to make, if it's going to, that's, they're jazz people, for those of you who don't know. If it's going to make you feel good, change that state. Break that state. Whatever it is. And when you break in that state, start giving God the glory. You got to have your amplified music. You know, there's times that any time, there's one song in particular, and I'm not going to go into the details of it, but any time I'm getting ready to minister, I play that one song. And that one song puts me inside of a state of ready to minister to God's people. Matter of fact, I'll tell you what it is. It's the song, Let Them See You in Me. You know, anyway, I'm not in the habit of the process of singing it now, but it's Let Them See You, Let Them See You in Me. When I preach, when I sing, let them see you in me. It's a powerful song. And that song, whenever I get ready to minister, I play it and I listen to it. And I listen to it while I get myself in the state to minister to God's people. Understanding it's about Him. There's football players who will tell you, before they go out into the field, they play music to get amped up. Come on, they get amped up. They get in the state that they need to be in to win the game. Well, sometimes you got to do that if you're facing depression. And the third point, again, the third point is you got to learn how to make things the way you see them. And listen to me. The only way you can make things the way you see them is when you're taught how you can have better and taught what to do for better. And that's the reason for the Better Life Empowerment Movement. That's why we're here. Come on, that's why we're here. God has given us a specific assignment to prepare God's people for this end time transfer of wealth, this end time movement of His Spirit that's going to bring abundance to the people of God, showing them that they can have better, not just in material things, but better in all aspects of life, a better marriage, a better relationship, a better focus, a better opportunity, better job, better service to the community. That you can have one word, two syllables better. And when you are committed to understanding you can have better, you no longer are limited to where you are. So I say this, and I mean it as I say it. It's time for us to see the danger of depression, even among believers, and to deal with it. Now, many of you don't know, if you don't know, we now have a new show that's going to be airing every Sunday at 4 o'clock on All Nations Radio. And we're putting together a special segment. It's called the Better Life Broadcast. I encourage you to come. It's going to be an empowerment show that is focused on giving you insight, understanding. There's going to be multiple interviews that's going to be given towards helping people understand how to experience the better of life. And in this show that we're going to be doing, in this Better Life Broadcast, I want you to understand that this 30-minute weekly inspirational self-development show, it will be dedicated to teaching practical life messages that can enhance your spirit, your soul, and your body. We'll have special guests, and we're going to be doing a show dealing with double-mindedness and the danger of depression, because these are two things that believers oftentimes face, but you can be victorious over it. And it's my prayer that during this teaching today, you would have been enlightened, have enlightenment, understanding, and truth to know that your life can be one word, two syllables, better. And again, if you're dealing with circumstance and you need the help, contact us at 1-877-708-BETTER, B-E-T-T-E-R. That's 2388. That's 1-877-708-BETTER. Contact us. Let us know what you're dealing with, you're facing. Let us pray with you. Let us share with you. And if we need to take it further, we'll help you. But we are committed as a ministry to seeing you experience a better life. I and Pastor Michelle have dedicated our lives, have made ourselves uncomfortable, have positioned ourselves to build the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, that you don't have to suffer from the danger of depression that will lead to suicide, but you can stand strong, rejoicing in the Lord, giving God the sacrifice of praise, knowing that, again, see things better than they are. Make them the way you see them. Understand, don't overcomplicate your circumstance, because things for you can get better. With that said, we're going to get ready to pray. And as we get ready to pray at this time, I pray that you were blessed by the word of God that has come forth today. And I want you to continue in the process of working on your relationship with God, working on your relationship with people. Remember, when the vertical is in line, in alignment, the horizontal works. The vertical is where we are with God. That's the vertical. The horizontal is how we deal with each other. I can love you like I love you because my vertical is strong. And when I feel like my vertical is not strong enough, I literally will refocus and reset that when I come to you, when I'm with you, I'm able to love you unconditionally because that is the will of God. And the same right of love that you receive from me is what I should be able to expect from you. But Jesus said of the new commandment, after the new covenant, how would they know that you are of me? For the love you have for one another. Let's stop this issue of suicide. It's not God's will. Last year alone, we had multiple pastors who committed suicide. One pastor had a church, burgeoning church, two services. Preached one service, went home, sat in his driveway, put out a gun, and blew his brains out. Right before the second service, his wife and some of the other armor bearers and people had to come home and find him because they didn't understand why the pastor wasn't in the second service. Who knows what he was going through? But he had no one to pray for him. He had no one to understand the circumstance, the situation. Everybody felt like, well, nothing was wrong with him. He was looking all right. It's not about a look. It's about an internal feeling. And we got to understand the responsibility we have as a community. And if you understand that, as a community, a fellowship of believers, then nobody can be lost or left behind by the danger of depression. Were you blessed today? Were you empowered today? If you was, I want you to make a commitment with this ministry because we're committed to helping people nationwide change their experience. This Father's Day, we will be at the Orlando Mission. The Orlando Mission are serving fathers who, no question, is dealing with depression. If you're a man, you know what it's like to be in a difficult situation where you have nothing or you can't take care of your family. That can lead to depression. But we want to be there to love on them, to give the love of Christ, and I need your help to do it. And so, therefore, as we get ready to close this time, you can now take action with helping us deal with depression, even among men who are homeless, who are facing difficulty. And I want you to help us do this. And so what we're looking to do is we have a goal. And I need you to hear God in this. We have a goal to raise $1,000 in which we can help serve the men who are going forth for this Father's Day. Will you help? If you've been blessed by today's teaching, if you receive points and principles that you can apply to your life, when those seasons of depression will come upon you, because I'm telling you, I had to face it. I had to deal with it. You will too in your life and your journey. But as you deal with it in your life and your journey, things can become one word, two syllables better. And I want you to understand, it is not God's will for anybody to suffer, none to suffer, but all through him can receive eternal life. And I'm saying this to you. I'm saying it to you in a major way. That you don't have to be bound. Help us be the hands of God to help somebody else. And every life change will go to your credit. So, therefore, as we get ready to conclude today, It's my prayer that you've been blessed. It's my prayer that you have a greater insight to how serious depression is and how anybody can face it. Because if I'm the pastor telling you that I had to go through seasons of depression, obviously I made it through. I'm here ministering to you, glory be to God. And I'm not telling you nothing that I myself did not have to apply. But I'm saying if I had to go through those seasons, I could only imagine with somebody who may not put as much prayer time in as I do, may not study the word as much as I do, what you could be facing. And it's not God's will for you to suffer. And we're here to help. Let us help. Amen. And let us then turn and help others. As we get ready to go, we never like to close out our time together without giving you the opportunity to be a blessing unto the Lord. We only got a few moments left. And after we do these few moments, I want every person who can to give a special offering today. Whatever you give is going to help us to be a blessing to the fathers, and that's also going to bless this ministry that we can carry on. We got a goal of $1,000 today. Now, that could be 10 persons giving $100. That could be 2 persons giving 5, whatever the case may be. You know this ministry. You know that we are serious about impacting the lives of others, not just preaching the gospel, but being the gospel. Not just saying it, but doing it. And it's your help that would enable us to be able to continue to be a blessing. Will you look deep inside of your heart? Would you seek the Lord and find out how can you help us reach this goal of $1,000 to help us on this Father's Day? Not much. $1,000 ain't much at all. But I just believe that as we begin to stir and be catalyst givers, God indeed will then allow others to be blessed as a result of that which we give. And today, how can you give? There's two main ways you can give, but we'll post 4. The first way you can give is by going to our website, betterlifeseeker.com. Betterlifeseeker.com. And as you go to our website, you can then click on Donate Now, follow the instructions, and you can give right to our ministry. Or secondly, the second way you can give is by going to our by texting any amount to the word Father, F-A-T-H-E-R, Father, to any amount, and you'll be able to give directly unto this ministry to help us deal with some of the fathers, the dads in depression. Will you help us do this? If you know what it's like, if you've been there before, whether you're a man or a woman, help us be there for somebody else. And God will honor and reward your seed and your sacrifice as we are doing this to be a blessing to those who need it the most. This is why I love the Better Life Empowerment Movement. This ministry is incredible because we ain't talking about being about it. We are doing it and being about it. And that's what it's all about. And we thank God, and it could not be done without your prayers and your financial support. So thank you, ma'am, sir, boy, girl. Thank you for your commitment. We bless you. We thank God for you. And as we get ready to pray at this time, I look forward to having you tune in with us this coming week, starting on Sunday at 4 p.m. for our new broadcast called the Better Life Broadcast. That's on All Nations Radio. You'll be able to tune in to All Nations Radio. You want to download the app, All Nations Radio. We have a broadcast at 4 p.m. this Sunday. And you don't want to miss. It will be a powerful time. But we're going to have a show coming up where we're dealing with the danger of depression, because we want to expose this spirit for what it is and give people the freedom to move forward in spite of what they're going through. Amen? And we need your help to do it. Amen? So this is not the last time we will be discussing this, but at least you have some principles that you can live by to help you throughout the circumstance. Amen? Amen. And again, as you give unto the Lord, everything you give will be a blessing, and we thank you in advance for it. Let's get ready to pray. Every person, again, our goal is $1,000. Can you do your very best to help us? Can you do your very best to help us? I don't generally ask for much, but this is one time that I know that we want to make an impact where it's needed the most. Amen. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for every person who's gathered here today. Thank you, God, for those who have faced depression and made it through. Thank you for giving us a desire to bring through other people that they too can be free. Now, Father, I pray that you will cause your anointing to break the yoke of bondage off of the lives and the minds of your people, causing them to walk in the freedom whereby they can be made free. And, Lord, we give you the praise because we believe that life for us and through us can get better as we become better. So, Father, have your way. Be glorified right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we ask you, O Lord, that if you find anything that will stand in the way of our service to you, take us away from it or take it away from us. Either way, Lord, allow us to be able to flow in the fullness of you. And God, we will be so kind to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, knowing that, God, you are in control. So be with us today, O God, as we serve you with gladness, as we move in manifestation. But thank you for the financial support, Lord, of those who believe in this ministry, who is serious about the better things of you, understanding that you desire for us to do more, to have more, and to be more for the better of you. Have your way today, and Father, we give you praise, for the best is yet to come. And we thank you today that, Lord, we shall experience the better that not only you promised, but the better that you desire to be. And we give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We thank you now. Amen, amen, and yes again, amen. All right, saints of God, thank you so much for your prayers, your support. Thank you for being with us in this ministry. And I pray that you were blessed today with this teaching. But listen to me. Remember, see things as they are, but not worse than they are. Number two, make them see things better than they are. And thirdly, make them the way you see them. And this ministry is here to help you make them the way you see them. Amen. Let's let God have his way and move in today. God bless you all. Thank you for your prayer and support. And we give God praise for you. God bless you. Have a great day. And thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your Saturday morning. And thank you for your praise and support. Have a great day, everybody. Talk to you soon. This is our prayer. Always remember, God created your life, but it's up to you to create the level of your living. You are a co-creator. So guess what? Create something great. God bless you. We love you. Have a great day.
You have been listening to Building the Better Life with Dr. Adrian L. Blue, produced by Adrian L. Blue Enterprises Incorporated. We trust that you've been blessed by the teachings of this ministry. Please let us know by sharing your thoughts with Dr. Blue at pastoralblue@gmail.com. For more information and to download today's broadcast, please visit www.betterlifeseeker.com. Just click the tab that says More, then Shop. Thank you for spending time with the ministry to discover cutting-edge strategies that will inspire you to go higher. If you'd like to give a donation to support the ministry, you can. Text the amount to 407-456-7300. That's 407-756-7300. Or go to www.betterlifeseeker.com and click the Donate Now tab. Every gift is a blessing for better. We bless you, we love you, and we'll see you again next time on Building the Better Life.